Hello, and welcome to the Brothers.
is that a new approach, dude?
That's awesome.
I like it. Okay, sorry. Go. Do it.
What the hell?
It was a new deal.
It took us
by surprise. It was a new inflection. It's good. I like the lack of robotic repetition.
Yep.
Hello.
Oh, sorry. Did I interrupt?
I don't even know what I did differently.
Podcast host. Go ahead.
Hello.
This is just alliterative.
And welcome
to the Brothers Geek.
Oh, my God. We are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast.
What are we?
We're the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast.
Patrick, have you started to cry?
Are you pouting? Don't pout. Patrick's pouting.
My name is Patrick Schmaltz. And then there's my two brothers, Christopher and Andrew Schmaltz. Hi, Christopher and Andrew.
Hello.
That was beautiful.
This is episode number 29. Thank you for listening. We are recording on February 22nd. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, hopefully all of our listeners that are in the eastern part of the United States aren't frozen to death.
Frozen to death?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Are they having weather problems? It's nice and sunny in Portland today. I'm sorry.
Whoa, Patrick. Do you live in such a frickin' bubble that you have to ask?
I don't care.
Are they having weather problems in the east? Did you seriously come out of your mouth?
So, I try to live my life, Christopher.
One bubble at a time?
No, in the now, in my personal space, and not worry about what's happening to other people.
In other words, you're a narcissist.
Yes. That is correct. No, but
you
not like
the
not
whole universe
like,
revolves around
hold
you.
Hold on a second. Like, I try to think about the things that can affect me versus...
Yeah, screw those East Coast people
no,
who are buried
well, I can't
in the snow
do any-
and freezing
Hold
cold.
On
screw
a second.
Them.
I can't do anything to help
no
them.
No
so what's the point? What's the point of thinking about them and stressing out about them?
No,
there's nothing
seriously.
I could do for them. If I can affect them somehow, then I'll think about that, how I can help them.
Wow.
I am a generous person. I will help them if I could, but I can't. I can't control the weather. So what's the point in thinking about that? I'm thinking about my sunshine that's going on right now.
You can't control the weather?
Empathy.
You can't control the weather?
You can't? What?
Wait, is that a thing?
That's what you were learning up there in Portland.
Is that a Schmaltz Brothers thing?
Weren't you in Wizarding Academy up there?
Wizarding Academy.
They haven't taught you that spell yet?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Or giving you that tech, that weather tech yet?
I'm a muggle, guys. I've been meaning to tell you this.
We know you're a muggle, dude.
Oh, we
trust me.
What is it called? What is the word
term
when they're from a wizarding family
term.
And then they can't
Way
use
to go,
magic?
English major.
Shut up. Derogatory. It's not a derogatory
Andrew,
term in the
job.
Harry Potter universe. Muggle,
Andrew.
It's not derogatory.
What's it called when they're from a magical family?
Well, it is if you're Slytherin.
And they can't use magic.
They're squib.
Squib. That's what it is.
Squib
good job,
is also another term for a firecracker that doesn't go off.
Oh, so, interesting.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Is that what she's pulling from there?
That's what she's pulling from.
Interesting.
Andrew is pouring forth with his useless shite.
Oh, my
so,
God.
Out of his
useless.
Brain.
These,
out of my brain.
These two brothers here have some news that they'd like to talk about. I will be sad.
So let me
about
paint
this
picture,
news.
Boys.
Yeah, paint
let
the picture.
Paint the picture
you
for
take
us.
The reins on this one.
The picture. I have to paint this picture because Andrew was the recipient of some of my panicky rage.
It was hilarious. We gotta paint the picture even more because I don't think a lot of the general world knows how involved this process has become.
Well, people who are in this world, but maybe some of our more general level one or two listeners maybe not know all the hoops you have to jump through in order to just have the opportunity to buy tickets to San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
We're just talking about getting the opportunity.
Just getting the opportunity
tickets.
To yes. buy the tickets.
Potential yeah. opportunity.
Potential opportunity.
So,
yes.
So you have to, A, you have to have a member ID and registration number. And so step one in this whole process is logging into –
And you get
Atomicon
that
website
right
in advance of the sale. This is there's a deadline right. by which you have to have a member ID, and then you are assigned. If you have a valid member ID with a password, you are then assigned a registration number. So you know, and then there's a certain time by which they we've well in years past it has been a. Even worse of a frickin' nightmare because
oh, I was describing this to mom and dad last night.
People would literally it depended upon how fast you clicked and how powerful and how clean your internet connection was and how many computers you had running at the same time because it was all about first come, first serve. The old system was, you know, when Comic-Con blew up, San Diego Comic-Con blew up and became this huge event. The initial sort of sign up and purchase of tickets was this nightmarish. How fast can you open the browser at 9 o'clock a.m. and milliseconds after 9 o'clock? The timing had to be exactly right for them to flip the switch in the server to accept people into their server in order to buy tickets in their queue, right? Yeah. And so it was a barrage. They crashed the site so many times when that initial setup was because it was, you know, 200,000 people attacking their server all at the same time. So I remember the first time they were doing this, they had to reschedule registration. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Where it crashed their server and they said, we can't do it today because we've overwhelmed our tech, blah, blah, blah. So then it became this, do you have the best rig? Do you have the best internet connection? And so when they got enough server capacity, it was all about how your timing. So you launched your browser. Are you milliseconds ahead of person number 385, and if you're number 384, it may not be sold out by the time it gets to you, but if you're 385, you're shit out of luck.
Wow. Yeah.
So that was the old system, right? It was who can sign on, who can be placed in the queue, and then if you're in the queue, you're assigned a number. Remember, Andrew, in years past where we would text back and forth and my number was 984 and your number was 763 and slowly that number would drop to where you're in a position to be able to buy. And then you would get the inevitable email
message.
Or the inevitable message that says Comic-Con is sold out and I'm number 300 and you're number 182 or whatever it was.
Oh my God, it was brutal. It was brutal.
Brutal.
You sit there for 45 minutes waiting for your waiting for the numbers to tick down. You're just like,
you have
I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Or it's
so that's years past. What did they do this year that was so good?
Well, last year they instituted a new system. I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
But anyway, it's been the same system for the last couple of years. And that is you get your member ID, you get your registration number. This is all sort of background to my freak out in the morning.
Yes.
So you get a registration number. So, you know, I do all of this. I get the member ID. You know, Andrew and I have been talking to one another, and so we're reminding each other, make sure you get the member ID. They set a specific time by which the quote-unquote waiting room opens.
Yeah.
And so the waiting room was 9 o'clock Pacific time, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or it opened at 8 o'clock Pacific time?
8 o'clock Pacific.
Pacific
sales
right.
started
the
at
waiting,
9 o'clock Pacific.
So it's – you get in – so you have to have your member ID. You have to have a registration number. You have to have the link to the waiting room. You know, and that's – the link to the waiting room is an important thing that comes to you in an email from Comic-Con, right?
24 hours before the sale, basically.
24 hours before the sale, so they say, right?
Yeah.
So I am –
yeah,
it cracks up because I'm just thinking about it because I couldn't find my freaking email, right? So I am
the link to the waiting room.
With the link to the waiting room, it's not on the website. They don't broadcast. They don't want people to sort of barrage the waiting room with
right.
And well, in order to get in, to get in the waiting room, you have to have your member ID. You have to have a registration number, which I had. I made sure to save both of those things, but I couldn't find the link to the frickin' page.
Exactly.
So Andrew and I are texting, and of course, I don't log on right at 8. They tell you it doesn't matter. The waiting room is the place where everybody is in a server, and you're in a holding pattern. And then they select randomly from that waiting room people who get an opportunity.
Oh, my God. It's like a lottery.
Yes, totally like
a
lottery
now.
100% lottery.
That's crazy.
Luck of the draw.
Luck of
the draw. You're in the waiting room, and then they pick your browser and your specific ID in order to get the opportunity to buy tickets.
Yep.
So I wait until like 8:30. Tottenham was on, you know.
Tottenham wasn't on. There was soccer
that was today.
On.
Yeah, I'm blending. So
yeah, it's okay.
I wait till about 8:30. All the information I need, and so I do all of that, and then it gets to be like 8:50, and they close the waiting room. If you're not in the waiting room by 9, you are SOL, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's 8:49, and I'm looking, and I can't find the email with the link to the waiting room.
Yeah.
So, you're tripping.
I'm tripping, and I text Andrew, and we're having, as is typical over text, a poor communication. So I send him, send me the link. He has the email. He confirms that he got the email. I couldn't find my email with a link.
Yeah.
And so I got admittedly short. I apologize, Andrew. I said, send me the freaking email. In about that tone, right?
And yes. There was definitely a sense of urgency.
Yes.
Because it was approaching 9 o'clock.
Right.
So he did. I found it. I clicked on the link. Okay, we're in. We're both in the waiting room, right? And so my moment of panic subsides because I'm actually in. I have the spinning thing. It confirms that I'm able to log in. So Andrew was also in there. And so we're there. How long were we in the waiting room, Andrew, before?
15, 20 minutes.
They start immediately after 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock our time.
They start 10 drawing. O'clock our time.
They're
in the waiting room, and
you get
a
message on your web page. You get a message on your web page that says, "Okay, we're starting to organize people into groups that will be offered the opportunity to buy tickets." And then the messages continue to pop up, and you know that's the painful process that we were sitting there waiting. And last year, the tickets sold out in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And so they're telling you, they're giving you regular updates about, okay, Saturday sold out, Friday sold out, Thursday sold out. That's usually the order, right? Saturday's Friday,
Saturday
Thursday, Sunday.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting. We're both waiting. And it's about 15 minutes in after the tickets. And boom, my page gets switched to an actual purchase page.
Whoa.
Yes. First time I'd ever seen anything like that.
Yep.
And when you get an opportunity to buy, you can buy for yourself and two other people who have member IDs, they're all eligible to buy.
Sure.
So
yes.
Andrew got me his information, and the end of the story is that we both have 4-day passes to San Diego Comic-Con.
Boom. That's awesome.
Yep.
Congrats.
Yes.
You guys are super
total winning the lottery
from a
point of view.
Awesome.
I was riding a high all day yesterday.
Yes.
I'm still riding a high. I'm so
excited
to go back. We were there last year, Chris and I, and we were able to kind of, through connections with Samurai Comics, able to attend that way. But getting it through the process as an attendee, going in the waiting room, being in the lottery, it's awesome. Feels great.
It's awesome.
So it feels great. The planning to go has already begun.
Yes, the planning has already begun.
Well, and we'll be able to – I mean, I've already started to think to myself what I'm going to do on different days. I think I am going to spend a day in Hall H.
I'm going
to camp out. Because we don't have to max out our days like we did last year. We only went for two days.
You're right.
I think
I've never done that experience. I've never been in Hall H.
Patrick and I were in Hall H a few years ago. The last
for
time
the,
went,
it was the
Indiana Jones year.
Indiana Jones Crystal Skull announcement year.
Yeah.
They announced it in the room.
Special message.
You know what will be in Hall H this year, right?
Star Trek footage. Oh, no, Star Wars footage.
Oh,
yeah.
100% guarantee.
And
Batman v Superman footage. Yes.
There will be Batman v Superman
People
stuff.
People will be camped out at the morning of the day before.
Remember at Comic-Con, Friday is always considered Star Wars Day.
Oh yeah.
So I would anticipate.
There's no question
that J.J. Abrams or someone will show up at Hall H with 2 minutes of footage and we'll talk for 15 minutes and then leave.
100%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be the day to camp out at Hall H is the Friday. So
well that's great, guys. You guys will have fun doing that. That sounds great for you.
We should even think about doing a special edition podcast
for sure, the
con.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Maybe like 2 days worth. Like we recap day one, we recap day two. You know, some other sites have done similar things. I think we ought to figure out.
Well, if you guys, we could talk about that off podcast. Yeah, we should definitely think about live show from the con.
A recap.
Yeah, totally.
Show, kind of like thing. A daily recap show.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, cool.
So that's the epic tale.
For discussion, we also have Zack Snyder posted on his Twitter a picture of Aquaman, Jason Momoa as Aquaman.
Yep.
With the tagline, what does it say? Unite the Seven?
Yep. Unite the Seven.
Which has, you know, spurred some ideas, speculation on Seven Seas. Are the Seven the JLA, the original Seven JLA?
Why would he be interested in uniting the Justice League, the Seven of the Justice League? That's my question. Because I've read only question, because, isn't sort of the revisionist, or maybe they started doing it in years past. I didn't read a whole lot of Aquaman stuff. But they've taken Aquaman in recent years into a darker place, right? I mean, he is pro sea and anti land.
Well, they've been trying to, well, not necessarily like he's uniting the Seven. Maybe that's just like the tagline of the movie, kind of a thing. Because this is a Justice League of America prequel, more or less. I mean,
it seems like what they're setting up.
They're setting up. There's Aquaman is definitely in this. Wonder Woman is definitely in this. There's probably going to be Flash, Arrow.
Not Arrow. No, Green Lantern.
Flash, Green Lantern.
Possibly Cyborg.
They've cast Cyborg, but we don't know if he's going to be
Superman and Batman.
And of course, Superbad.
That's
Batman.
The Seven.
That's the Did Seven. Yep.
You just tick off the
tick
Seven?
Off the Seven? Yeah. I think we did, yeah.
So, you know.
So it could be a double meaning.
Double
right?
meaning, could. Sure. We don't know if Aquaman is going to be, like, kind of a adversary for Batman or Superman. What you're saying, Christopher, that he's kind of like anti-land people, you know? Yeah.
Maybe. Well, but he can be convinced. A threat to the earth is a threat to the sea, right? So that's why that's his logic.
We're speculating on all of this, and the main evidence in terms of what kind of character he's going to be is this photo. I mean, he looks like he's a warrior, like pure and simple.
Well,
I mean, he's all massively tattooed, and he's got like plate armor, and he's got his giant trident. And Jason Momoa is, you know,
well,
Patrick, you're going to put the photo up on the website, right?
Yeah, we'll put it up. Here's Brothers Geek already retweeted it, so you can see that there, and then we'll put it on the site also. But like, here's the thing that you're missing, why it's worth commenting about Jason Momoa looking awesome, is Aquaman is lame. He's like the lamest hero ever. So
they're trying to de-lamify.
He's like the worst of the JLA. He's the worst. And so now it's like, and it's like very like,
you know,
monochrome, like
it,
very
was
gray.
Aquaman in the Justice League Unlimited cartoon.
There was never a central.
I mean, I can't remember like either a storyline or like him having any kind of a central role. Maybe that's a recognition that he is a really lame
He had his own. He has his own episodes and stuff, but I don't think he was part of the original, like, the main group. It was mostly like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, yeah. Martian Manhunter was a big part of it.
Hawkgirl
was a big part of it.
Has a long, interesting character arc.
Right.
Series also.
Well, it's curious about the DC effort on Aquaman is they're trying to make him more, which is in my mind a good way to go. They're making him more like Namor, right? The Submariner in Marvel.
They're similar characters for sure. They're both from the sea. Yes. Both like
you know
the
which
king
one was
of
first?
The sea.
I don't remember.
I think Namor was first.
Namor was first.
And Namor is outright antagonistic toward
Landy's,
right?
Well, yeah,
he's this perfect anti-hero. I mean, he's never been like a straight-up hero.
He started as a villain against the
Fantastic Four.
The villain, no,
that's a deep track.
No. It was a the Human Torch, but the robot Human Torch.
The original Human Torch.
The original Human Torch that was an android, yes.
Yeah, it was. They had their first appearance in some random Marvel monthly.
Yeah.
The first Human Torch, was a robot who could generate fire over his whole body.
Yep.
And then Johnny Storm was the Silver Age.
If you want to go read a really beautiful recap of that, you can look up Marvel's. The first one is about the Human Torch and the Human Torch and Namor, and it retells the story from the perspective of a photojournalist, and it's done with the art of Alex Ross, so it's freaking gorgeous.
Wow, that sounds pretty awesome.
It's a really good book. It's really really good.
First appearance was in 1922.
Whoa!
Wow.
He's a golden age character.
Well, then, and then eventually he joins forces with Captain America to fight the Nazis. And that's how he becomes sort of a hero. Is like he joins the side of good to help Captain America.
Such a threat, absolutely.
So that's interesting. But
created in not 22. That's when he was born.
But Aquaman was always kind of like blonde, short hair, and like he wore green and yellow. He was like really hideous looking. And
Aquaman,
and
he wore green and orange, didn't he?
Green and orangish yellow kind of a thing.
Yeah, no, I got you. But he was always really lame looking, and
This is really ramping it up. He really looks dark
kind of weird. He kind of a weird kind of origin story.
He's all tattooed up. They're going with the way where like Aquaman is the long haired with the beard. He's kind of like Poseidon-ish, you know, thing.
I like the way the look of the shot is awesome. He looks great.
But is DC going to like they're taking themselves really serious with their movies? Like in Marvel,
they had success with Batman, dude. That's gonna drive everything.
Right? Yeah, but
and
like
Batman was dark and brooding and blah blah.
Man of Steel. It was all like monochrome. It was dulled down colors and grays.
They think that that's lazy. It's a lazy approach to it for sure.
So
we'll see which Snyder comes up with. Snyder's hit or miss. I mean, I liked him with 300 and. You know, there are parts of Watchmen that are pretty great.
Watchmen, I really liked Watchmen on the whole. Like, it has its flaws, but I really appreciate that movie. So,
yeah. I think he's
a talented dude. It's just a question of whether you appreciate his aesthetic and his choices or not.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Sure.
So,
all right. Cool.
It's good stuff.
That's big news this week.
Big news.
That's the first time we saw any. We've seen his image of Batman. We've seen his image of Superman. Obviously, Man of Steel
and Wonder Woman.
And Wonder Woman.
There's been a Wonder Woman.
Gal Gadot will look as Wonder Woman. Mm. So now we've seen Jason Momoa's look as Aquaman. So
yeah, and
they're
all
of the seas.
They're all in grayscale.
It's true. All true.
Yes, they are.
So what's
there's a color on Momoa's. There's some yellow in there. So there's
a little bit. This
I'm looking at it now.
Batman v Superman is going to be shot in black and white. They just didn't tell us. let's move on to scene.
That would be a smart choice.
So yeah,
I think so.
Yeah,
Christopher.
Yes.
What do you have for scene?
What do I have for scene? Supernatural.
Supernatural.
Curran on Supernatural. I'm really enjoying the storyline in Supernatural this season. Has been Dean with the Mark of Cain. He received the Mark of Cain in order to give him the power to defeat some demons. And he was in cahoots with the King of Hell. And now he's tormented by the fact that he has the first blade, which is the only thing that could kill the person that the demon that they were fighting. And but the first blade can kill pretty much anything.
So the first blade in the lore of the show is the weapon that Cain used to commit the first murder.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. It so it has like all of this dark supernatural power.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
And the mark
gotcha.
Of Cain. Cain, in fact, still exists. But the mark of Cain is essentially the supernatural equivalent of roid rage.
Yeah.
Okay.
You go
makes
into
you just want to murder.
Murderous, yeah. Murderous frenzy. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's much more of a sort of psychological season in terms of Dean's struggles with it's far less of an external threat.
Right.
Okay. It's more of the internal, you know, existential kind of a thing that they really haven't done a whole lot of in the entire series. So I'm enjoying that very much.
Good.
Susan and I continue to work our way through season one of Stargate, the rewatch.
Nice.
And that, you know, there are that first season of that is hit and miss, dudes. I gotta
Yeah.
It is you know, I look back on that with rose-colored glasses because, damn, there are some episodes that are we look at each other and just shake our head like, wow, that is terrible. But it is just laying the groundwork for all the characters we love, so I'm enjoying that very much. We went and saw Kingsman today.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
And I enjoyed it very much. It depends on my biorhythm, I think, as to whether or not all that stylized sort of goofy violence is fun to watch or it's, like, tiresome. Today was a mixed bag. I liked it for the most part. I liked the characters. The writing was interesting. The villain and the sort of counter-tropey stuff that they decided to do was interesting. All in all, I enjoyed it, but you know, it has its weak points. The over the top nature of some of that stuff that's in the movie was ridiculous, not in a good way. So,
I saw the movie too last weekend, and I agree with a lot of what you said, but something I'll touch on in particular is I actually like the kid who played kind of the up-and-coming, kind of the recruit who's learning his way. He's kind of a street kid from central London.
Yeah, he's very
– with the checker. He's really good in the movie. I think I mean, and I have never seen him anything else. Who knows if he's done some other stuff in Britain, and this might be his first, like, Hollywood feature.
I looked him up. He has had very few things besides this. Like, like a lot of, like, random English things, TV shows and stuff.
He's good in the movie.
It's the beginnings of a franchise, right? So
totally.
Possibly,
could
yeah.
be.
Definitely
could
tee
be.
That up.
I talked about it last week, also Kingsman, but I wrote a review, put it on Judgment Cloud actually yesterday. So if you guys want to go read that, you can go to
Judgment.
A little
cross promotion there?
Yeah, a little bit.
What, okay. Are you are
shilling?
Judgment? No, you're moonlighting?
Well,
your own website,
you have multiple outlets.
We need content.
The
and
movie
you're
reviews
content to your own website.
The movie reviews. I want to say,
Andrew, is that a fireable offense?
We're gonna have to counsel about
you
that. We're gonna have
to have
an official
we need to have
meeting.
You can't.
Offline.
You can't fire the CEO, buddy.
Oh wow!
You're the CEO.
That's right. He's the guy with the gear.
The guy with
has to
gear.
Be in the band.
What's your official title?
He has to be in the band, except everybody hates him.
Exactly. He's the only guy who has the good amp.
That's right.
Yeah, that's why you're in the band.
The
he's
pedal.
The guy with
is
the
that,
van.
Is that what's up? Great.
You're the guy with the van.
Thanks, guys.
Put you in the background.
I put a link to it on brothersgeek.com also. So you can go. But I'm mentioning it because I want my brothers to read it also.
Give us your executive summary of your review right now.
Three sentences. Bond-esque with a twist of gratuitous violence for adults. It's a fragmented sentence.
Yes, it's sentence fragments.
Sentence fragments is all I can muster.
Okay. well done, professional podcaster.
Yes, but go read the review, and then I don't need to give you my sentence fragments.
All right,
Andrew, what you got for scene?
What do I have for scene? Black Sails had a very interesting episode just last night. That show in season two has its leaps and bounds better than season one, in my opinion. Season one was a bit of a slog to get through. But season two has been
how many episodes
phenomenal.
Are they into it?
Five.
Are they doing 10? Is there like
I think it's 10. It's either episode? 8 or 10. Okay. Season one was 8.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was very quick. Or very short, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's going to be 8 or 10, but season two has been great. There's been lots of tension, lots of character stuff, lots of backstory, which adds a lot of context and meaning to people. And I am not, usually I'm kind of frustrated with cliffhangers because I'm like, it's just an easy way to build tension. But there's been multiple cliffhangers in a row, like multiple episodes have been linked together on basically subsequent days on this island. And it's all been really interesting, good cliffhangers, like good places to kind of have a moment when, oh shit, stuff's about to go down. And then you got to come back next week to see what happens. So I've been very, very pleased with how they've done season two. So I can't wait. I can't wait until the next episode is available, which is next Saturday. So I'm always chomping at the bit to see it. So it's good stuff.
That's good.
And shout out to, and I'll say this in particular, the lead actor, Toby Stevens, he plays Captain Flint. Yeah, he is legit. He's been around for a while. He's a British guy. He actually played a Bond villain in a Pierce Brosnan Bond
movie. Really?
The one that had Rosamund Pike as the Bond girl. I forget her character's name. Something Frost. M. Frost. Something Frost.
Emma Frost.
M. Frost, because that's the White Queen.
No, you're right. That's the North Korean.
She's a Pierce Brosnan? Really?
He was the villain in a Pierce Brosnan Bond movie.
Okay, I'm looking it up.
The world, The World Is Not Enough. Is it Tomorrow Never Dies?
Tomorrow Never Dies? And then there's World Is Not Enough.
What is it? I can't even remember. But yeah, that's how forgettable that Bond movie was. But he is the villain in it. I kind of figured that out. I looked him up on IMDb, and he is great as the lead as Captain Flint. He brings a lot of kind of subtext to the character, which could be not have a lot of subtext.
He was in Die Another Day.
Die Another Day.
Yes.
That's the last
one. That had the villain, that had the North Korean dude who was like this henchman with the diamonds.
The layer on the like ice sheet where it was a hotel made of ice.
Right.
Yeah.
Icarus was the satellite.
It was the super weapon that channeled the sun and melted crap.
Classic Bond.
Stupid.
Classic Bond megalomania.
Well, that's what I love about The Kingsman is that it's like an homage to that because like Valentine has his own Bond lair and he has his own like crazy henchmen, but it's fun. Like they know what they're doing and they
the problem is
in such a way he's the richest man in the world, so it's a little bit believable that he could afford a mountaintop fortress,
right?
You know, because he's worth $80 billion.
This is a little meta though because I think Austin Powers has ruined any
that kind
current
of Bond
or future parody of Bond.
Yeah.
Right.
The Kingsman is this weird mix of serious and kind of injecting humor and it's self-aware.
It's got a wry humor.
It's kind of half-assed.
And
Austin Powers, it can't go all the way. Austin Powers went all the way, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And any movie that now attempts to do this, we're self-aware and we're poking fun and these are all these Bond tropes. It kind of falls a little flat. It does to me anyway. It falls flat because either you're all in and you take it seriously, and Bond has its moments of humor, right? But it's genuine, sort of. It comes from the characters. It's not wink, wink, nod, nod. We know what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Kingsman is a little on point about some of those moments, and that kind of bugs me.
Well, I feel like the difference between that, Kingsman is doing really hardcore violence and it's rated R, which no Bond films are. They're all always kind of like fun and we're not going to show it too much, even though we're going to have like lots of sex and violence. It's never going to be like over the top
in your face.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like Kingsman, they say, no, we're going to do a Bond film, but we're going to show you all the stuff that you don't normally see.
Yeah. And
sorry,
the grittier Bond of Daniel Craig is the perfect Bond, in my view.
Yeah, agreed.
Because it's realistic.
But the tropes of Bond
shows the violence.
The tropes of Bond, though, is like this.
Kingsman.
It's always like a villain that's got some kind of like problem. He's got like a messed up eye, or he limps, or he's like got a lisp. Or he's missing part of his face, and then he's always got to have a lair, and he's always got to have like a really powerful henchman, and like he's got like a
circles back to my Austin Powers
pool. Right. He's got like a pool of sharks, you know.
Freaking laser beams on their
freaking
heads.
Laser beams. And the gadgets,
freaking laser beams.
All these things are like gadgets, you know. But
everyone
Kingsman
deserves
has
a hot meal.
Okay.
That's the follow-up.
We're getting off the rails here. Anything else for scene, Andrew? We kind of took your Black Sails discussion for the road there. So.
I encourage everybody to watch it. Binge watch season one and then watch season two. It is fantastic.
Cool.
Yep.
Since episode 28, I have watched Flash, Arrow, and Agent Carter. Flash is so good.
Yes.
Yep. Holy crap. Everything that happens. That.
Firing on all cylinders.
Dude, yep. With Firestorm
very
and like the anti. What are they calling the Yellow Flash? Are they
the
calling
man
it.
In yellow. They just call him the Man in Yellow.
But like.
Currently. They haven't given him.
Right.
A name
yet. Like, because he's Professor Zoom in the comics, but he's also something else too. He's like.
Reverse Flash.
That's.
Flash,
I think they even say Reverse Flash once in the show.
I think they do, yeah.
And then Grodd is
Grodd is coming.
Oh, that's my awesome. God, that's so
Grodd's
crazy.
Grodd's a great character.
Oh. He really is.
Yep.
So I'm so, like, this, and they're doing it so well. Like, all these things that I'm saying could be done so silly, they could be so ridiculous. But, like, Firestorm is
badass. Well, they could be
badass.
They could be stupid is what they could be.
Like,
I'm okay with it being a little silly because,
right.
In general, the Flash is a little silly in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be stupid, and it's not stupid.
It's
at
not
all.
Stupid. It's so thought out, and it's fun. And,
it's a comic book show that's not taking itself too seriously. And we've mentioned this in the past that it's really enjoying the fact that it's in that world, in this comic book world. See, the difference between that and frickin' Gotham. I predicted it. I told you guys.
I have
totally agree with you.
Perfectly executed comic book show, and Gotham is made by people who don't understand a thing about comic books.
Well, they don't understand. Fox doesn't know what geeks want. That's what that amounts to.
That's
their track record
show
has told me.
No,
totally. The showrunner.
Yeah,
the showrunner.
So, I just had to comment on that because the last episode was just so amazing. Like, Arrow was great, too. But Flash, this show, it's like becoming one of my favorite shows. Like, I could rewatch this whole season and I would be so happy because it's so fun. God, it's just, it's great.
I'll build on that and just like I mentioned with Toby Stevens, it all give all credit to the lead, Grant Gustin, the guy who plays Flash.
Oh, yeah.
He is great.
He is a TV star. He is a TV star. So great.
There's a whole ensemble. I mean, there's the mystery surrounding kind of Professor Wells, and then there's his two kind of like team members, Caitlin Snow and his, you know, the geeky guy who's like the mechanical engineer whose name completely escapes me right now.
I'm blanking.
And like, you know, the father-son relationship he has.
Cisco.
Yeah, the father-son relationship he has with the cop who was his foster dad.
Do you know why you can't remember Cisco's name? Because Cisco is the audience. And that's why he is us. And like he says
out
that,
in every episode.
Right. Yeah. He's geeking out
all the nicknames to all the villains and everything.
He is giving them like their names. I'm doing air quotes right now, but like he's telling the audience this is the comic book character that it is. And that's exactly great about it.
It's a perfect mechanism to do that.
Right.
Exactly.
And everybody thinks he's ridiculous for coming up with these names, but we all are like laughing about it. It's so absurd.
It's great though.
Because like
the bone to the comic.
Because the names are silly. Like Captain Boomerang. Like, that's a dumb
name.
The name's
also Captain Cold. He's got a freeze gun.
Yeah.
But they pull it off. He could be the most lame character in the whole show. He just has a gun that creates ice.
Yes.
But he's actually fun and menacing in the show.
Oh, man. Captain Cold is great.
I love how they just gloss over it. This is the thing. This is just, it like, cracks me up every time I see that show. Because they just gloss over all of the ethical and legal and moral issues involved in locking people up inside their facility.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With no involvement whatsoever from law enforcement.
You know what I keep thinking about, too?
No, nothing.
Who feeds all these people?
Exactly.
How do they get them food? They're going to die of starvation
in these
cells.
Those details, they'd really pay attention to those details in Gotham.
Yeah.
It's important.
Not important.
Flash.
Doesn't matter. Just throw them in the super-powered cell. Cool. Yeah. Cool, you can do that. That's fine. All right, we should move on. Yeah. Let's talk about Red. Andrew, what you got for Red?
What do I have for Red? I went and picked up my comic books yesterday, so I'm totally current with Batman Eternal. The most recent issue is probably one of the most standalone issues, issue 46. It has a beginning, middle, and end where Batman is seeking out who he believes to be the big bad for this entire run. I mean, the person who's been pulling all the strings in the background. So he seeks this person out, and a much larger mystery evolves.
Don't say a word.
You kind of learn information and then more questions are posed, and it's not frustrating, but it is ramping up for the last 47, 48, 49, 50. The last six issues are going to be insane.
Wow.
It is going to be the next 6 weeks of wrapping up this story are going to be nuts.
Cool.
I cannot wait for it.
Cool.
And I also, the most recent issue of Invincible. I don't know what number they're on. It's in the hundreds and in the teens, I think 115 or 16. Kirkman. Okay, I won't spoil anything, but there is a setting. The setting of the comic book is changing. They're moving locations where the characters are.
Okay.
And the main characters are. They're going to be taking on a new life, a new way to live. So they are going somewhere else, and they're saying their goodbyes. And there is a scene at the very beginning where the main character, Mark, goes to a comic book store to pick up all of the back issues that he hasn't bought, and he has an exchange with the clerk at the comic book store, and it is absolutely Robert Kirkman kind of thumbing his nose at the fans who are complaining about the book. It's very meta, and it's very Kirkman, and I love it.
What are people complaining about the book? Explain that to us.
Like, Kirkman he's basically creating things in the comic just to keep it going. Like, he's not resolving any storylines. He's not kind of – he doesn't seem like he has an end game. He's making challenges and bringing characters back randomly just to create more conflict.
Who cares?
Exactly. That's Kirk. Okay.
It goes on forever.
Yeah, no, Kirkman.
It's a comic book, dude. It doesn't have to have an end.
Yeah, so it's so, but it Kirkman addresses that in a very meta, very wry humor way, and it's totally Kirkman. What we know about him and his sense of humor. I mean, I've been in panels with Robert Kirkman before. He's very funny, and he has a very wry, kind of dry sense of humor. So it's great. Yeah. Yeah, the first few panels of this book, of the book, this issue, are very, very funny.
This whole comic book is a homage slash like making fun of
subversive.
Right, of Superman. This whole thing, like what it would be from Superman's point of view, just written a little differently, you know, with a little more humor, a little more violence, a little more, you know, space to move.
Exactly.
So
and it's just it's very subversive, and I love it. So
cool.
So the most recent issues, there's always challenges facing the main characters, but this seems like they are really going to go in a different direction for a while with the comics. So I'm interested to see where it goes.
Cool. Yeah. Christopher.
Since our last podcast, I have very little to report. I made a little bit of progress on Crimson Campaign. I finished listening to the Harry Dresden book, and I'm on to the next one. Trying to decide on what the next sci-fi book I'm going to read, but I need to focus on getting current on all my comics and finish reading my multiple books I'm reading at the same time. I need to knock that off. So I need to focus on that over the next week or so try to actually get some stuff read. So no, I don't have much to report this week.
That's fine. We recorded these two episodes pretty close together, so it's understandable. All right. I continue to listen to A Dance with Dragons. I am only 2 hours in of the 49. So I have a lot to go. I've since upped my playback speed from 1.25 to 1.5. Okay. So hopefully it reads it a little faster.
Yeah, how does that sound? I've never tried it.
Well, once you go from like 1 to 1.5, it sounds like he's talking really fast, but then your brain adjusts and like you can hear it. It's just you know, it you can still process it, but when things happen quickly, it's tough to follow what's happening. But when he's just like talking about, oh, he's in the city, or oh, blah blah blah, he's talking about this culture, but that like you can just 1.5 that the whole time.
Gotcha.
But like when an action scene starts, I would recommend like slowing it down so you can really like think about what's happening, think about what's going on and where the characters are and stuff. So but yeah, I'm doing that to try to like cut through this because I'm realizing it's 49 hours. So I'm really enjoying it though. Tyrion is back. I'm happy he's in the mix. He's like the second chapter, which is fantastic. The first chapter was all about one of those wargs. I can't remember his name. I don't know if he's been in the show at all.
He has.
Was he the guy with the bird?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's survived that, but he's on the side. He's survives
north
that whole.
Of, he's north
right.
of the wall.
He's north of the wall, and he's talking about what's happened with Mance Rayder and like you know all that business and him like hiding out and talking about how north of wall wargs are kind of like revered how much power this guy has. Wargs are pretty crazy awesome.
In the world of the show and the book, it's a really interesting magical ability
because he has like right he has like powers to take over, like he has like wolves that he frequently takes over to kill people with, and like he has a shadow cat that just follows him around that he can like jump into and murder people with if necessary. Yeah. And that's crazy. So pretty interesting. That's what I that's about as far as I'm into it. I don't have much to report on Red. So let's just move on to played. Christopher, what have you played?
I have played Evolve and Destiny, and that's it.
Any further
more,
with Evolve?
More Destiny. I've played a little bit more of Evolve. I've started their pretty short solo campaign on Evolve, but I've just begun that. I started a new character in Destiny. I'm leveling a warlock, and I have her up to level 13.
Warlocks are great, man. That's my favorite character.
I am very much enjoying playing her.
I've never played a warlock. I mean, I've been leveling my Titan completely exclusively. What does the warlock have going on that's different? Because I'm from a Titan and from a Hunter.
The super of a warlock is
very
sort of
powerful.
Space magic based. It's void damage.
Well,
it's void damage. Okay.
Well, here's something that I would comment about warlocks that they're not the fastest, they're not the toughest, but they recover the best.
Okay.
So like the Titan could take more damage, but he's got to take cover for a very long time whenever down.
Absolutely.
You know, the Hunter is very quick. And can be very powerful and has things that help him kill things quickly. But if he takes a lot of damage, he'll get smoked like nothing. Warlocks can survive things, and then their shields and health come back like really fast. If you spec him right, their health flies back up. So it's really like a quicker character. I mean, if you play it smart, you'll never get downed. They're saying most people have said that they have the most survivability overall.
Okay.
Titans can take the most brunt, but they can take it, and if they get hit again, they're done. So Titans, it's sort of like a different kind of playstyle, but I really love that. I love the being
Chris,
able to recover quickly.
Have you discovered that as well about your warlock?
Yes. There is this, you got to wrap your brain around the fact that you're a level, 13 character. And,
yeah, exactly.
You might want to be more patient because I'm working my way through the campaign again. And the nature of the leveling is such that it's not well designed in that every story mission that I'm bumping into now is a level higher than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I'm level 13, and it's a level. I was a level 11, and I'm going into a level 12 or 13 story missions, and that's hard.
I think they did that because they want you to group up. I think that's intentional.
Well,
that may absolutely
be. The problem is that I'm running it and trying to quickly level.
Sure.
And so I'm very much enjoying the character. The abilities are terrific. It's a good time, but my hunter feels and has the weapons and gear to make her a badass.
Mm-hmm.
Where my warlock is not. It's a mixed bag of greens and whites in terms of gear at my level, and I just can't take all that much punishment. Some missions are really, really hard. But I'm actually enjoying that, and I'm trying to. I'm purposely using different weapons, different primary and special weapons than I use with the hunter, just to sort of get a feel for different sort of leveling with different weaponry. So, and I'm enjoying that a lot too. I've been primarily hand cannon
hand cannons are great.
Warlock.
Oh,
and it's a good. I had the auto rifle for a while, and I'm not that much of a fan of the lack of precision of the auto rifle. I'm really liking the hand cannon. So it's been great fun. So my goal is I bought an exotic chest piece for Warlock, and so when I hit 20. I'll immediately be able to equip her with some pretty decent gear out of the gate. So,
cool.
We'll see what level she'll be at that point. But
neat.
But yeah, it's fun. Very fun.
Cool. That's awesome. Cool.
I'll have I'm going to play more Evolve between now and the next podcast, so I will have more to report.
Oh, good.
So,
oh, good.
Just for curiosity's sake, Christopher, what story mission are you on in the campaign right now?
I just completed the get the head of the Gate Lord mission.
Oh, okay. That one's fun.
What planet are you on? You're on Venus?
Now I am headed to Mars.
Okay.
Cool. Yes, I just finished the Venus. You go to the reef. That weird interlude where they tell you to go get ahead of a Gate Lord. So I did that, and I just finished that mission where I got the head of the Gate Lord, and they opened up Mars for me. So I'm headed to Mars.
Sweet, nice. That's fun. My plate hasn't been very much at all because I've been too busy. I haven't played any board games or video games, really. I don't really know what to report on. I talked about Destiny a little bit in your segment, Andrew, so I think we'll just stick with
Chris's
that.
Segment. Mm-hmm. You haven't talked to me yet.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. That's okay.
You didn't do yours.
I haven't.
Go for it, Andrew.
Surprise, surprise. I have Destiny to report on. I reached level 31 earlier this morning.
Congrats.
So that's pretty cool. We were talking about it a little bit offline before we
fired
started.
Fired that little packet of endorphin in your brain.
It really tells you,
I have achieved the next meaningless level, and now I must do some more.
I must do some more, exactly. It is absolutely meaningless and totally meaningful. So, so it feels good to get to 31. I am a hair's breadth away from ranking up with Eris so that I can complete my modification to get the legendary auto rifle that is specific to the new DLC. I can't remember how to pronounce it. Eidolon's Ally, I think it's called. When the Husk of the Pit drops, you have to level up and then you have to rank. It's a long process, so I am very close to that. I have to run just a couple more bounties, and then I will be able to upgrade that to the legendary. And then eventually, hopefully, we'll be able to run Crota's End on hard and
How about run Crota's End, period?
No, that's what I'm saying. We got to run, period. Getting six people together to run the frickin' raid is more difficult than it sounds.
It is not easy, for sure.
Exactly. Because you said you had a regular kind of raid team that you were working with, but they've all kind of moved on or gotten jobs, and they're not nearly as available to play.
This is true. This is very true.
So, yeah.
Can we three-man the Vault of Glass?
No. Okay. It's there's not enough of a level difference to
make it a big difference. Right. Be able to do it.
It'll still hit you hard. You can still get, like, right now at 30, you could still get dropped by a level 10, you know. It can happen if there's enough of them. So.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at. So I'm, grinding. I've embraced the grind, but getting that purple, getting that next purple weapon is what's driving me every day. So
cool.
I'll be there soon.
All right. Do you have some trivia for us?
I absolutely have some trivia. And right. I felt the trivia of late has been a little too easy for you guys.
Ooh,
so
ramped it up.
I've ramped it up. It's a little more obscure this time around, but still kind of in our wheelhouse.
Let's hear it.
By way of context,
crushed this trivia question.
You have.
You've been crushing it
the last few weeks.
The last few, we've been destroying you.
You got to try to stump Patrick.
Exactly. There's a segment of Geekdom that we have not really touched on, but all three of us, we love this movie. The Big Lebowski
is a wonderful
Coen movie, Coen Brothers movie, and I love it. I've seen it multiple times. I played drinking games to this movie.
Top 10 of my favorite movies of all time.
Easily. Wow. It's so good.
Wow. All right.
Works on so many levels.
You're out of your element, Donnie.
Yeah, exactly. Donnie, you're out of your element. You got to say it with anger. Walter Sobchak's rage. There are fan fests that have been embraced by the cast of The Big Lebowski. Mm-hmm. The Jeff Bridges has shown up to these fan fests and like participated in them. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I actually looked this up before we got online, and the next one is actually in L.A. Here is the question: how many times over the course of the movie is the word "dude" or one of its derivatives spoken?
Oh my god! Seriously,
gotta be within 10. Considered correct.
Within 10.
And the second and a follow-up question to that is: well, it doesn't. This isn't kind of the official question, but I'll give you the information later. But how many times do they say the F word in the movie?
Two tier question here, dude, yep. And the F word.
Yep.
I know that Scarface. I watched Scarface one time, and Scarface had 90 something F words in it. So I'm thinking Lebowski has less than that. So I'm gonna lowball it. I'm gonna say 63 F words. I'm gonna say 88 dudes.
Okay.
So 88 dudes and 63 F words. So I'm that's going. My guess. I'm going 100 dudes, and I'm going 38 F words.
Oh wow! All wow. Right. Okay.
You guys are totally and completely wrong. You are. For dudes. The total number of spoken dudes or its derivatives, 160.
Oh, double what I said. That's, double.
That's more than 1 minute.
That's more than 1 minute. Exactly. Oh, and the number of F words or a variation on the F word, 292.
Whoa. 292?
Yeah. Me?
Oh my nope.
God, dear Lord.
This is according to IMDb.com, which is pretty much a legit site to quote.
Somebody watched a movie and counted them.
Yes, somebody did. Somebody working for IMDb watched the movie.
You know, that could be internet sourced too. So.
Internet sourced. We'll take the internet source for now. We don't need to
The hive mind.
The hive mind has given us this information.
Yep.
Wow, that's a lot of F-bombs, dude.
All right, well, the next time I watch it, I'm going to have to pay close attention to that. So.
Well, the next time you watch it, you should drink every single time. One of those is, and you'll be hammered.
I want to live.
If you did it for F-words, you would die.
The other less impactful drinking game is that you drink a White Russian every time he drinks a White Russian. And by the end of the movie, you've had like 12.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I think you have 12 White
Russians.
That's actually a great idea.
I would try to do that. That would be fun. Oh, my God.
If you make it to the end of the movie,
doing it alone
would
be sad.
That has to be
a social event.
Have you guys been to Jeff Bridges' Squarespace website, like Dreaming with Jeff?
No.
I saw the ad. I saw the new ad for that, though. That looks awesome.
He, like, plays music to you, and he, like, hums. He goes, it's really random. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you can email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. If you'd like to email the show, you can email us at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. You should follow us on Twitter at @brothers_geek at twitter.com. And of course, you should visit the website brothersgeek.com for all of your podcasting needs. Thank you, brothers.
Yes, you should.
Good job.
Excellent. The content is outstanding.
All right. You guys have a good
month.
One shot first.